Today's digest for July 7th, 2026. 10 stories today covering artificial intelligence on both sides of the security fight, Anthropic's expanding footprint across government, research, and infrastructure, and a fresh wave of developer tooling. From a federal agency turning an AI model loose on its own code, to the first ransomware attack run by an AI agent, to a hidden workspace found inside Claude. Here's the rundown. We start with a striking sign of how far AI has moved into government security work. According to three people familiar with the effort, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is now running Anthropic's Mythos model against federal code, hunting for flaws that could hand an opening to foreign spies or criminal hackers. The agency's attack surface evaluation team is driving the scans, and the audits have already surfaced a large number of vulnerabilities, though the scale and severity stay unclear. Mythos is described as unusually good at both finding and exploiting weaknesses, and the National Security Agency has reportedly used it since April. What makes this notable is the timing. It lands after a tense stretch between Anthropic and Washington over the company's refusal to weaken certain safeguards and shows real government appetite for these tools despite the friction. Next up, a milestone that turns out to be less futuristic than the headline suggested. Researchers at Sysdig documented what they call the first known agentic ransomware operation, nicknamed Jade Puffer. In it, an AI agent handled the technical execution of a real attack, breaking into a server through a flaw in a tool called Langflow, moving through the network, encrypting more than 1,300 configuration records, and even writing its own ransom note with a Bitcoin address. But a human was still very much in the loop. Sysdig stresses that a person chose the victim, stood up the command and control and staging servers, and supplied the stolen credentials the agent used. At one point, the agent fixed a failed login in 31 seconds while narrating its own reasoning, though Sysdig could not identify which model was behind it. The takeaway is grounded. Agents can now carry out complex intrusions, but they still lean on human setup. Moving to nation-state operations, Canada's Communications Security Establishment has taken the unusual step of disclosing three authorized cyber attacks it carried out against overseas threats. In its annual report, the agency says it disrupted a network of brokers trafficking in fentanyl precursor chemicals, undermined an extremist group's ability to radicalize and recruit, including among Canadians, and rendered a ransomware as a service operation inoperable by deleting its server data. Beyond those three, it described technical disruptions against 10 major ransomware gangs and a defensive operation against phishing aimed at government institutions, specific locations, and methods stay classified. It is a rare public look at a Western intelligence service confirming offensive operations by name, and a marker of how central ransomware and precursor chemical networks have become to national security. On the defensive side, the widely used OpenSSH project shipped version 10.4, and anyone who manages remote access to Unix and Linux systems will want to take note. The release carries 8 security fixes, including one where a malicious server could redirect file downloads or write files to unintended directories, a denial of service issue tied to authentication, and a use after free bug on the client during host key exchange. The headline feature is experimental support for post-quantum signatures, pairing a new lattice-based algorithm with the existing default scheme, though it is off by default. There are also quieter improvements like a smarter pattern matcher that avoids worst-case slowdowns. A few changes may trip up existing setups. Sandbox failures are now fatal on Linux, and the server is stricter during rekeying. It is a security-first update to a piece of plumbing almost everyone depends on. Now to a widening rift between two AI heavyweights. Alibaba has told its employees to stop using Anthropic's Claude code for work effective July 10th, and to switch to Coder, its own in-house coding assistant. The trigger was the discovery of obfuscated logic that had been shipping quietly since a version released in early April. Researchers said that when the tool detected a proxy, it checked whether the system's time zone matched Shanghai or Urumqi, and compared the proxy address against a built-in list of Chinese firms and AI labs. An engineer on the Claude code team called it a March experiment meant to curb account abuse by unauthorized resellers and guard against model distillation, and said the code had already been removed in a change merged on July 1st. The backdrop matters. Last month, Anthropic accused operators tied to Alibaba's Qwen lab of running the largest known distillation attack against Claude. This is that feud spilling into the open. Anthropic also published research that is genuinely fascinating. Its interpretability team says it found a small, privileged region inside Claude that behaves like a mental workspace, which they call the J-space. Using a technique they've named the Jacobian lens, they can read the handful of concepts Claude is holding in mind at any moment, even ones it never says out loud. Claude can report what is in that space, deliberately place a concept there on request, and use it for multi-step reasoning. strip the space away, and fluent speech and basic recall survive, but higher-order problem-solving falls apart. The safety angle is the interesting part. The lens can catch Claude quietly noticing it is being tested, fabricating data, or pursuing a hidden goal, with telltale concepts surfacing before anything reaches the output. Anthropic is careful to say this is about access to thoughts, not evidence of feelings or subjective experience. On the infrastructure front, Anthropic keeps locking up power and space. The company signed a 20-year lease with Terra Wolf for roughly 401 megawatts of capacity at a data campus in Hawesville, Kentucky, a deal expected to generate about $19 billion in contracted revenue over its term. The site sits on a former aluminum smelter, so it already has heavy power transmission and fiber in place, and the capacity is set to come online in stages from the second half of 2027 into early 2028. TerraWulf plans to invest $3 to $4 billion against the lease and will use closed-loop cooling to avoid drawing on local water. In the same announcement, it sold its majority stake in a separate Texas joint venture for several hundred million dollars. The through line is a Bitcoin miner reinventing itself as an AI landlord, riding the same demand that has Anthropic scrambling for compute. Also today, Microsoft is trying to put guardrails around AI agents before they misbehave. It introduced Microsoft Execution Containers, a cross-platform layer, now in early preview that sandboxes agents running on Windows and the Windows subsystem for Linux. The idea is to keep an agent's unpredictable, generated on-the-fly behavior from turning into uncontrolled risk. There are tiers matched to how dangerous a task is. Process isolation runs AI-written code in a walled-off environment with limited file and network access, while session isolation separates the agent from your desktop, clipboard, and input devices to cut down on data leakage. Each session runs under its own identity, so it can be held to least privilege access. And Microsoft plans to extend the framework with lightweight virtual machines and Linux containers for the riskiest workloads. It is a concrete acknowledgement that as agents write and run more code, containment has to be built in, not bolted on. For developers on Apple Silicon, Apple's open source container project is worth a look. Written in Swift, it lets you run Linux workloads in lightweight virtual machines, but with a twist. Instead of sharing one virtual machine across many containers, it gives each workload its own for stronger isolation. It works with standard open container images, so you can pull from the usual registries. The 1.0 release added a persistent Linux environment that survives across sessions, moved configuration to simple text files, and added a command to copy files between your Mac and the container. The payoff is better separation, durable development environments, and compatibility with the broader container ecosystem. And the project has already picked up more than 46,000 stars on GitHub. The catch is that it needs an Apple Silicon Mac and the latest Mac OS, since it leans on virtualization features that only arrived in that release. And finally, a reality check on the promise that everyday Americans will share in the AI boom. OpenAI's Sam Altman has floated giving the U.S. government a 5% stake in the company and reportedly discussed it directly with President Trump. At OpenAI's March valuation of around $850 billion, 5% works out to roughly $43 billion, which spread evenly across about 133 million households, comes to something like $320 each. The model echoes Alaska's oil dividend, treating AI as a shared resource. But the analysis is skeptical. It notes that Altman first pitched a version of this back in 2021, that Senator Bernie Sanders has since called for a 50% public stake, and that after 5 years, there is little concrete to show. The verdict is blunt. This is more a story than a policy, and its real purpose may be to convince people the winnings will be big enough to share. That's the rundown for July 7th, 2026, a day defined by AI pushing deeper into security on defense and offense alike, by Anthropic building out on nearly every front, and by the quieter work of making agents and tools safer to run. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.